Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We do praise you for the 4 years you've given us and all the word that you've given us, all that you've done in these 4 years. We praise you. We thank you for the years that are to come and all that you do in those years. We give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I do want to thank all of you guys, especially look at those pictures, all of you guys that were here helping us put all this together. Very much appreciate it. And, you know, for those of you that have come along over the years, cannot tell you how much I appreciate, how humbled I am that you allow me to invest in you on Sundays. You have no idea what that means to me, so thank you. I do love all of you guys. Seeing all that, man, we did a lot in 4 years. We look busy. You guys can be seated. Yes, thank you for it. I don't even know who I'll put that together, so probably Tony and Jean. Thank you very much. Put it together. We do appreciate that. Also want to thank, this Tuesday is your birthday, right, Susie? I love it when I say that and people get surprised. Anybody else have a birthday that we've missed or it's coming up? When's yours, Kathy? It's all a blur. Once you get to August, I have no idea. Donna just lets me know when it's September. That's pretty much what I know. Anybody else? Alex? Okay, good. Tuesdays. So Alex, Susie, Kathy, anybody else? If it gets more than that, my brain starts to wander. Lord, we praise you and thank you just for these individuals. I thank you for Susie, for Kathy, for Alex. I thank you for the awesome creations that you made in them. We rejoice in the creation of each one of them. And we just speak your blessing. I thank you that in the days to come, on that day Tuesday for Alex and for Susie, I just thank you that on that day, I thank you that they are just overwhelmed with your love, overwhelmed with the sense of the call and the purpose that you have for their lives. So we thank you and praise you for them. And we just speak the fullness of your joy in the year to come on both of them in your name, Jesus. I thank you for Kathy. I thank you that she's already begun this next year. She's already taken the steps into this next year, filled with every good thing that you have for her. For all of these people, we speak the abundance of your joy, the abundance of your blessing, health, just a great year in the year to come. And we accept nothing less than all the best that you have for them. In your name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this is our fourth anniversary, and last week I began a message where I was sharing with you about just us being the fruit that comes from the vine of Jesus. And we looked at John chapter 15, those very familiar verses. And in John chapter 15, we saw that Jesus was the vine and that we are the branches that are attached to the vine of Jesus. I want to look at one of those verses in particular. This is John chapter 15, verse number 5. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. See, the expectation is that we as his branches, and each one of us are branches, if we're saved in Jesus Christ, we are branches attached to the vine. The expectation is that we as his branches, that we will be producing his fruit. We also saw last week that what is the fruit that actually comes from the vine? He's the vine. What's the fruit of the vine? The fruit of the vine is grapes. And we saw that in biblical Israel, by far the vast majority of the grapes that were produced for one purpose, and that was for the making of wine. We also saw last week that God plants, and it calls it his beloved vineyards. God plants his beloved vineyards on fruitful hills. We are, today, we are the fruitful vineyards in Jesus Christ. We are his fruitful vineyards. And also recall that we are cities on a hill for him. So it's on the hill of you and I that God has planted his fruitful vineyards with the expectation that we will be bearing his fruit. He's the vine. We're the branches attached to the vine. The vines bear fruit. This should be what our goal is. This should be what our desire is, to every day be producing the fruit that is in Jesus Christ that He's expected of us. We also saw that through the grapes of us, through the grapes of you, God is creating His new wine. It's through the grapes of you, what you produce, you as the branches attached to the vine that will produce His fruit. It's through the grapes of you that Jesus is producing or developing His new wine. Now, new wine, we saw biblically, is symbolic of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. You are, listen, you are the new wine in Jesus. And as we saw last week from the wedding at Cana, the new wine was the best wine. Paul set the example for us. Paul says that his life was being poured out like a drink offering in service to Jesus Christ. You are. You may not see yourself this way, but you are the choicest wine in Jesus Christ. You are His choicest wine, and He desires for us to be that choice wine. You're that choice wine that is worthy to be poured out under the glory of Jesus Christ. This should be every day our thought, our heart. Jesus, I want to produce your fruit from the branches of me. I want you to make that new wine of me, and I want that to be poured out to your glory. Now, we also saw last week, the last thing we saw was that imagery that came from Jeff Cox. Jeff Cox was a man, he's not a believer, but he's a man that was an expert in grapes and in winemaking. And we saw this quote that he gave, and I want you to see this quote. Jeff Cox, if we can see the parallels between our lives as branches on the vine and see the parallels from actual grapes and wine making, there's so many things we can learn from it. Jeff Cox says, in wine growing areas, you see the vines stretched on their trellises, their arms wide open in welcome, or in a different light, resembling rows of the crucified. What a great image that is. And this is from a man who's not even a believer in Jesus Christ. We are His vineyard. We're the vineyard of Jesus Christ, the world. To the world, they should see us with our arms thrown wide open in the love of Jesus Christ. The world should see us with our arms wide open as we're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them. But in the light of Jesus, we should be seen as living out the call that Jesus has for each one of us that we see in Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. And that says, then He said to them, Jesus speaking, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Take up your cross daily, serving Jesus Christ and not serving self. Because your life is not your own. It's been bought with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. Take up your cross daily and let His fruit bud on the branches of you. You who are those branches hanging on those trellises that Jeff Cox was talking about. And just so you know, the purpose of trellises, it is to keep the grapes lifted up off the ground. It's to keep the grapes from being in contact with the ground. It's to keep the grapes lifted up so that you and I, this is what we're supposed to be. On the cross, you and I are to be lifted up. You and I on the cross, we are to be lifted up. This is how. Take up your cross daily and follow Him. This keeps you lifted up in Jesus Christ. It keeps you off the ground. In other words, it keeps you lifted up off the ground above the things of this world. Then you are elevated. You're elevated so you can reach and you can receive the higher things in the spiritual realm. Now, this is just one of the examples. There's so many examples that we can see from making a parallel between grapes and winemaking and the grapes, the fruit of you and I through Jesus Christ and what Jesus can do through that wine. And we're going to see some other examples from Jeff Cox, who is this grape and winemaking expert. And from these examples, we can take these examples and we can apply them to our service to Jesus Christ as we are the new wine in Jesus Christ. All right? So we are his vineyard. We've seen that we're his vineyard. And in his vineyard, in the vineyard of Jesus Christ, in the vineyard of God the Father, Jesus is the vine. The vine is the main part of the branch, of the tree. It's the main part of the plant. It's the part that is rooted and planted in the ground. So in his vineyard, Jesus is the vine, and you and I are the branches. The branches are those shoots that come out from the vine. The fruit of the vine, Jesus, is on the branches of you and I. So the question is, are we producing the fruit in Jesus Christ that he expects us? Are we producing his fruit? Are we producing all the things that he requires of us? Are we producing the fruit so that we can have the contentment, the peace, and the fulfillment that we're seeking and desiring? See, oftentimes we fail to bud and develop the fruit of Jesus Christ because we view ourselves as being unworthy to produce grapes, grapes that are good enough to make the choice wine of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is waiting to develop the ripe grapes of the branches of you. Regardless of how you see yourself, Jesus is waiting to develop the grapes of you. Listen to this comment. Again, this is from Jeff Cox, who's not a believer. But listen to what he says. The secret of wine is the grapes that it comes from. A quality wine is produced, listen to this, a quality wine is produced from a suffering vine. Again, this man's not a believer, but I just love the parallels that he doesn't even see that he's making that apply to our lives. A suffering vine. Great wines come from a suffering vine. You might see yourself as being unworthy to produce choice wine that can be poured out to the glory of Jesus Christ. You might see yourself that way, but here's the thing. You're just the branch. Great wines result from the suffering vines, not from the quality of the branch. Jesus is the vine that you are attached to. And he's a vine that has suffered for us so that every branch that is willing can produce great grapes that he can develop into fine wines that can be poured out like Paul, that we can be poured out like drink offerings to the glory of Jesus. So why is it that suffering vines produce great wines? Well, suffering vines actually produce smaller grapes. So what you get is a grape that has more skin in proportion to juice than you'd find in a larger. Make sense? More skin, they're smaller, so you have more skin in proportion to the juice that's there. In other words, you, attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, the vine that has suffered for you, you attached to the vine of Jesus Christ that suffered for you can produce grapes that have less juice, less of you. And it has more skin. More of that victory of Jesus Christ. Because the flavor and the quality of a good fine wine, it comes from the skin of the grapes. The skin that was crushed in the pressing process. The flavor and the quality of the wine comes from the skin, not from the juice. This is why we can. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what's happened in your life. You through Jesus Christ, he wants to produce great fruit through you, that he can develop into those fine wines that can be poured out, your life, my life, poured out in the glory of Jesus Christ. This is what he wants for us. Here's another illustration that we can see from the comparison of actual wine growing, grape growing and wine making, and Jesus developing the fruit of you and I, his branches attached to his vine, and making that into a fine wine. The Bible clearly talks to us about the importance of pruning. Pruning is one of the things that God does. It's part of the work that God does in his vineyards. A healthy plant needs to be pruned. Now again, I want you to listen to what Jeff Cox says about pruning. Pruning the grape branches is the heart. Pruning is the heart of the grape growing process and the process on which everything else depends. How important is pruning? This is a winemaker. This is an expert who's wrote a book on this. He says that pruning is the heart of grape growing, and everything else in making a fine wine depends upon the pruning that takes place. It all comes down to pruning. In the natural cultivation of grapes, the new buds that blossom on old wood or old branches is not a healthy thing. The desire is for new buds or new blossoms to bloom on new shoots. And so because of this, the old branches, the old wood, that which does not produce fruit, it certainly doesn't produce quality fruit. Those old branches, that old wood, has to be pruned off. And it's in that pruning that from that vine, from those branches, can come a healthy and an abundant crop of grapes. For you and I to produce great grapes in our lives, this is going to happen a lot because I have a lot of alliteration in this. For you and I to produce those great grapes in Jesus Christ, for you and I to do that, we also have to allow Him to continually prune the branches of us. To prune us so that He can remove all of those things that hinder us from producing those great grapes. Everything that hinders us, everything from the world that hinders us, we have to allow Him to prune those branches off. Because pruning is the major part. It is the heart. It is that which all the rest of the winemaking depends upon, this one detail, the pruning. So if you look at your own life and you're not satisfied with the grapes that you see being produced on the branches of you, allow Jesus Christ to do some pruning on your branches. It helps produce better grapes. Amen. All right, let's continue moving on with the whole cultivation process. So now that we see the grapes, or these blossoms, have now bloomed, they've now become grapes. They're grapes that are on the branches of you and I. Now it's time to harvest and to press these grapes. Here's an amazing thing about Father God as the vine maker He's described to be in the Bible. The amazing thing about Father God is that He can make great wine from the failures, from the bitterness, from the mess of our lives. He can make great wines. It's all part of the cluster of who you are. Read this from Isaiah. This is Isaiah chapter 65, verse number 8. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Jesus uses the entire cluster of your life to make the new wine of you. Here's the grape cluster. The grape cluster is, picture on a wine. When you go to the store, you get a cluster of grapes. This is a grape cluster. The grape cluster is every part of the fruit. It's the branches. It's the stems that hold the grapes. It's the skin of the grapes. It's the seeds. It's the fungus that is on the grapes. It's part of the grape cluster. It's even the bugs and the infestations that are on the cluster. This is all part of the cluster. Jesus uses the entire cluster of you to make the new wine of you. Because Jesus, who is the servant spoken of in Isaiah 65, for my servant's sake, because of Jesus, because of the servant Jesus, the entire cluster, the ruination and the ugliness of my life, because of the servant, because of Jesus, all of that ruination of my life is made righteousness in Jesus Christ and can then be used to produce the fine wine that Jesus wants to develop in you and in me. Jesus wants to make a great wine out of the fruit of you. A great wine that can be poured out daily as a drink offering to His glory. Amen? So after the grapes have been pressed and juiced, the next process in winemaking is fermentation. Now, fermentation Again, Jeff Cox talked to us about this, and he says that while this process of fermentation, this is one of the keys to the process of winemaking, but it's the part of the process that requires the most patience. Fermentation. Actually, in winemaking, there's actually two processes of fermentation. It takes the longest time of the entire process. It takes time. The new wine has to be allowed to sit. It has to be allowed to have time to ferment. This takes time. Likewise, you and I, as the new wine in Jesus Christ, we have to allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to work in and to develop us. This takes time. It takes time in the Word of God, and it takes time spent with the Holy Spirit. We have to give that time to allow that to take place. Fermentation takes place when the juice of the grapes are left sitting for a period of time, sitting on what's called the lees, L-E-E-S. Lees is just basically the sediment that settles at the bottom of a bottle of wine. It's that sediment. It's that which is not the pleasant stuff. It is that which is left over from the process of pressing the grapes. It's the wineskins. It's the stems. It's all the residual of the entire cluster of you and I being pressed out. That is what the fermentation process is. But here's what's taking place. As that grape juice sits on the lees, it's during that time of the juice sitting on the lees, that's when the yeasts and the ferment, which is, listen to this, the yeast, which is critical to the process of making wine, the yeast is released, guess where? The yeast is released from the interior, from the lining of the skin of the grapes. And remember, Jesus Christ, the skin of the grapes is symbolic to us of the flesh, the body of Jesus Christ that was rent for us. This is released, that yeast, during that time of fermentation. Now, in the natural winemaking process, when that yeast from the skin is released, it's mixed with other yeasts from the air. And those yeasts come together and they eat the glucose or they eat the sugar that is in that new wine. This is the chemical process of fermentation. This is the chemical process of fermentation where the new wine is developed into a fine wine. Now remember, Jesus said to his disciples, and he was saying the same thing to you and I, Jesus said to his disciples that unless I depart, the Holy Spirit will come. Unless I depart, the Holy Spirit will not come. It is by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is by his body, his flesh, rent for us, crushed like the skin of those grapes. It is by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. It is by that the Holy Spirit has come. And now the Holy Spirit has been released into the new wine of you. So there's a parallel. In the natural, we see the fermentation process was a chemical process. Well, as we look at what Jesus does through us, as we look at us as the new wine of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit released into the new wine of us, this is the spiritual process of sanctification in which the new wine of you is developed into the fine wine of Jesus Christ, a wine that is worthy to be poured out to the glory of Jesus Christ. This is just amazing to see how that fermentation process speaks to Jesus creating the fine wine of you and I. Now, once the fermentation process has taken place, the next step in winemaking is filtering. It's the filtering process. In the filtering process, all of the lees or all of that sediment that was left on the bottom of the bottle of the wine, all of that which is undesirable, during filtering, all of that is being removed. All of that is taken away and removed. In the Bible times, this filtering process was done. Now, think about this for a second. I want you to remember this. In Bible times, the filtering process was done through linen cloth. That seems like a small, insignificant thing, but it's important. Remember that. Now, the next step of the process that we see in the filtering process is a filtering agent is added. That filtering agent is put into the wine to clarify the wine, to remove the cloudiness, to make it clear and pure. A filtering agent that is still used today for this purpose in France is ox blood. Still used as a filtering process. Now, this is both fascinating and noteworthy. Because ox blood, in the Old Covenant, ox blood was used for sacrifices. In fact, Moses himself sprinkled ox blood on the people. And Moses said when he did that, "This is the blood of the covenant." We see that in Exodus chapter 24, verse number 8. "And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, 'This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words.'" Remember that the new wine, you are the new wine. Remember, the new wine is symbolic of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. So you as the new wine, you are not filtered by the blood of the ox. You are filtered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now the old man with all of his impurities has been put away. You have put on the new clothes. You've put on the clothes of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is how that reads in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, in the Amplified Bible. With everything I just said, consider this. "And have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self." That's that process of sanctification we were talking about. "Have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is even in the process of being renewed and remodeled into a fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of Him who created it." The old man tried to become righteousness in his own efforts. That's what the old man tried to do. Let's see how that looked. How did man himself, trying to make himself righteous, how did that look to Father God? Well, we see an example of that. This is Isaiah chapter 63, verse 2. "Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the wine presses?" In Bible times and under the Old Covenant, people would squeeze the juice from the grapes for their wine with their feet. And as a result, their garments would become stained red from the effort of their works, from the effort of their squeezing out those grapes. But you and I, we are the new wine in Jesus Christ. You and I, we're not filtered through our own efforts. We are not filtered through the linen robes of our own efforts. Remember, I said before, remember the linen cloth. Under the Old Testament, in Bible times, in biblical times, the wine was filtered through linen cloths. For you and I in Jesus Christ, we're not filtered through those linen cloths. Linen cloths, this was the garment of the old covenant that was stained red from self-effort. But you and I, we are filtered through the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I, we are the new wine that is in Jesus Christ. You and I, we are the choice wine. We have now put on the robes that have been made white by the blood of the Lamb. You and I, we are the new wine in Jesus Christ. And you are being made into a choice wine that is worthy. Jesus is making you, if you allow Him, He's making you into a choice wine that is worthy to be poured out to His glory. It's a wine that He has developed Himself. He has matured you. He's developed you. He's produced those things. You are no longer a cheap wine. You are now becoming a fine wine in Jesus Christ through the sacrifice of His blood, the sanctification of His blood, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So one final thought on this. According to Jeff Cox, again, this is a man who's an expert in grapes and winemaking. According to Jeff Cox, wine that has been left on the lees. So again, that's wine that was left on all of that sediment, all of that which was left in the bottom of the bottle that had to be filtered out. Wine that has been left on the lees and is raised up off of the lees, this is wine. This is the only wine that becomes a great wine. This is the only wine that becomes a quality wine. Live your life in service to Jesus Christ. Live your life in service to Him. And He is lifting you as His fruit. He's lifting you as His new wine. He's lifting you off the sediment of your life. Only Jesus can turn the sediment of our lives into something that glorifies Him and makes it into a fine wine. You, having accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, you are no longer a cheap wine. You're no longer a cheap wine that is cloudy and has no flavor. You have been made into a fine wine. You have been made into a choice wine, matured and aged in Jesus Christ. I want you to see, this is a picture of the most expensive bottle of wine that was ever sold. The most expensive bottle of wine. This, it's a bottle called Screaming Eagle Cabernet Sauvignon, 1992. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, but that's the way it looked. So this wine, this bottle, was sold for $500,000. Talk about a fine bottle of wine. $500,000 for that bottle of wine. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, the cheapest bottle of wine you can buy is a $2 bottle of wine. This is it. There's actually wines out there that cost $2 a bottle of wine. And all of these wines, they're actually all titled. They're put under the title of cheap wines. They're derogatorily referred to as two-buck chuck. You are not two-buck chuck. You are the fine wine of Jesus Christ. You are the quality wine of Jesus Christ. And just like we saw with Paul, because you are the fine wine, offer your life, daily offer your life to be poured out to Jesus Christ, like Paul did, to be poured out as a drink offering to the glory of Jesus Christ. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what it says. Here's our final verse. This is from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Living your life for yourself, think about this, living your life for yourself is getting drunk on the fine wine that Jesus has created in you. Because you are consuming the fine wine that Jesus created in you to be poured out to His glory, and you're selfishly consuming it to yourself. Don't live your life to yourself. He intends to create through the grapes of you, through the fruit, His fruit coming through the branches of you. He intends to create a fine wine that is worthy of being poured out to His glory. Now, also notice in that verse, it says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Grammatically, in that context, that is present tense. That is telling us that we need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is that parallel with that process of fermentation and the process of sanctification. We are to continually, every day, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because as we are continually refreshed and refilled in the Holy Spirit, He is maturing us. He is developing the new wine of you into a fine wine, His fine wine, that can be poured out to His glory. Amen? So as we talked about this today, I thought this would be a good day for us to also share communion. Also, since this is our fourth anniversary, I just wanted to do this anyway. But think about this. So Jesus, He celebrated the Passover.